I want to welcome everyone who is joining us today live for our worship. I first of all want to say a shout out to my church family at Central. It was so good to see so many of you post pictures on our Facebook page this morning. That's just a great way to connect. And for those of you who haven't done that yet, you can go to our church Facebook page. Just take a picture of yourself or those that you're worshiping with. And it's just a great way for us to be able to see and connect with each other as a church family. I want you to know that I really, really miss you guys. And what I would say to everyone is just hang in there. Remember that God is so faithful and God is so good. And even in the midst of everything that may be going wrong right now in the world, God is still doing really big things, really good things. In fact, I want to share something with you this morning, some really good news that the elders asked me to announce, and that's this: the land that we had been trying to purchase as a church family on First Street for the last 2 years. A lot of you have been praying about that. On Thursday of this past week, God made it possible for us to close out and purchase that property. And so that's really going to be very beneficial for our congregation. It'll give us a little bit more parking. It will also make us more visible from First Street as well. So make sure that you say a special prayer of thanks to God for that blessing. Also, Cindy Primo asked me to announce that if you have a secret sister, on Wednesday, April the 1st, she asked that you would call your secret sister and reveal yourself. For those of you who are not a part of our Central family, we want to welcome you as well. This may be your first time to tune in with us, and we are so glad to have you worshiping with us today. Right now, we're in a series entitled Freedom, and what we've been doing in this series is we've been talking about how quite often we can become slaves. Or maybe a better term would be this: we can become controlled by things in the world like anger or fear or people pleasing, or we can even become a slave to the mistakes that we've made in the past. Or it could be an addiction, or it could be bitterness. But here's the good news. This has been the point of this entire series, and it's this: because of the death, burial, and the resurrection, Jesus not only purchased our salvation, but He purchased our freedom. We're free in Christ. We no longer have to be slaves. But here's the problem. So oftentimes we are tempted to settle for a small gospel. And I really think that's why so many of you have been texting me and emailing me, telling me, man, this has really been a great series for you. It's really been making a difference in your life because you're being reminded of a bigger gospel than just the simple fact that Jesus died and one day we can be with Him in heaven. No, because of Christ, we can be free. In fact, look at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 6 through 7. This is what Paul says. So praise God for the glorious grace He has poured out on us who belong to His dear Son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that He did what? Say it out loud at home. He purchased our freedom with the blood of His Son and did what? And forgave our sins. In other words, the gospel is not just a message about how Jesus has forgiven us of our sins. The message of the gospel also includes the fact that because of the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus, Jesus has set us free from the power of sin. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 7, Paul writes this: or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death. We were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with Him in His death like this, we will certainly also be united with Him in a resurrection like this. For we know that our old self was crucified with Him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer, say it out loud at home, be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. In other words, the message of the gospel is we're able to live the life that God has called us to live right now. Not someday or one day, but right now. In other words, right now, freedom can be a reality for you. But there's a critical step in experiencing freedom. And that's this. We've got to believe that it really exists. Let me ask you a question this morning. Did the 13th Amendment free slaves? And really, the answer to that question is yes and no. Judicially, legally, yes, it freed slaves. But there were those who remained in slavery because they didn't know that they were free. There were others who remained in slavery because they didn't know how to live free. They had been slaves all their lives, and yet there were still others who had heard about the 13th Amendment, but they didn't believe it was true. And so they remained slaves. Listen to me this morning. Freedom begins by hearing and accepting, believing the word of truth. Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 6, he says, He, that's Jesus, gave His life to do what? Say it out loud. To purchase freedom for everyone. And he says, this is the message that God gave to the world at just the right time. You see, God wants the world to know that through Christ, we can all experience freedom. But here's the reality. We have a very real spiritual enemy. And he doesn't want that message to go out. In fact, he wants the world to believe that it's a myth. In other words, Satan does everything he can to get us to believe that we can never change. That as long as we're here on this earth, we have to stay in bondage to the things of this world. But the truth is, freedom really does exist. Paul in Romans chapter 7, verses 24 through 25 says, Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will what? Say it out loud. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? And that may be the question that you've been asking. Who can save me from this life dominated by sin and slavery? And Paul gives the answer. He says, thank God. He says, the answer is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Listen, freedom really does exist. You and I, we can be free through Jesus Christ. But there's some things that we need to understand in order to really experience freedom. First of all, we need to understand that freedom is a gift. Notice Paul doesn't say, what will set me free? He says, who will set me free? Because you see, freedom is not a work that you do. Freedom is a work that Jesus Christ has already done. Romans chapter 3, verses 22 through 24. Paul writes, God makes people right with Himself through their faith in Jesus Christ. This is true for all who believe in Christ, because all people are the same. Everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's glorious standard, and all need to be made right with God by His grace, which is a what? Say it out loud at home. Which is a free gift. And then notice this next sentence. They need to be made free from sin through who? Through Jesus Christ. God sent Him to die in our place to take away our sins. We receive forgiveness through faith in the blood of Jesus' death. And so freedom is a gift. You see, the gospel is not offering us a chance to purchase our freedom. The gospel is inviting us to step into the freedom that Jesus has already purchased and brought about for us. But you see, a small gospel won't tell you that. A small gospel will tell you that yes, you can be forgiven, but in order for you to be free, you've got to do this long to-do list. Then you can receive freedom. But here's the deal. Law never set anyone free. I know so often I'll be talking to people and they'll tell me, as I talk to them about Jesus, they'll say, listen, if I can just do some things, if I can just get rid of some things, then, you know, and get some of these things out of my life, get the mess out of my life, then maybe Jesus will come into my life. But grace says, and this is the truth, Jesus wants to come into your life first, and He will start getting the mess out of your life. And He will. As we surrender to Him more and more, He will help us to walk more and more in freedom. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. I love this passage. For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Say it out loud. There is freedom. Freedom is a gift. But also, we need to understand that freedom is a responsibility. Listen, only Jesus can set you free from whatever's been holding you in bondage. But let me tell you something. It is our responsibility to let Him set us free. You see, Jesus doesn't force freedom on anyone. A great example of this would have to be John chapter 5. Remember, Jesus walks up to this man who has been lame for decades. And do you remember what He asks him? He says, do you want to be made well? In other words, do you want out? Do you want to be free? And some of you may be thinking, well, that's kind of a strange question. I mean, this guy has been lame for decades, and Jesus asks him, does he want to be free? Why would he do that? Because the truth of the matter is, some don't. Some would be very content for God just to excuse their faults and just continue going on living the way they've always been living. I don't know how many of you have seen the movie Shawshank Redemption, but it's a movie about a guy by the name of Brooks, and he's been in prison for 51 years. And it finally gets to the point to where he's going to get out, he's going to be released, and he is absolutely terrified. And so he acts like he is going to murder another inmate so that they will keep him longer. And everyone's like, what in the world? Why would he do that? And there was this wise old prisoner by the name of Red, and this is what he says about it. He says, these walls do funny things to a man. He says, at first you hate them, But then you get used to them. And after enough time passes, you come to depend on them. Couldn't we say the same thing about sin? At first, we find ourselves involved in things that we shouldn't, and we feel guilty about it, but then over time, as we continue to engage in those things, our guilt begins to fade. And finally, it becomes a lifestyle. It can become something that we depend on. And so here in John chapter 5, Jesus is trying to wake up this guy to his responsibility. He asks him, "Do you want to be well? Do you want to be set free?" And that's one of the questions they'll ask you in Narcotics Anonymous. For those of you who have been through that program, you know the very first question that they're going to ask you is this, before you do anything else, is, are you willing? I mean, there's no use in you trying any of the other steps until you answer that question. Are you willing? Are you willing to let this go? Are you willing to be free? Are you willing to change friends? Are you willing to do whatever it takes? Do you want to be well? And the problem is, some don't. Some people would rather live their life telling their excuses than walk in freedom. Well, Slate, you just don't understand. I mean, I've been struggling with this for years. I've tried everything, and there's just no hope for me. Or Slate, you don't understand the family that I came from. I mean, we, as a family, we all struggle with anger issues. My parents struggled with anger issues. I struggle with anger issues. My kids will probably struggle with anger issues. It's just the way things are. It just runs in our family, and we can make excuse after excuse for why we'll never change. But freedom requires responsibility. Listen to me this morning. Satan himself cannot keep you from experiencing freedom. The only thing that can keep us from freedom is our own desire to have it. In fact, there's a sermon that Jesus loved to preach, and he always used a certain word in that sermon, Luke chapter 13, verse 3. He says, "I tell you no, but unless you," what? Say it out loud. "Unless you repent, you will likewise perish." In Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, it's the same sermon. He says, "From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say," what? "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." In other words, it's possible for you and I to live a life under the rule and the reign of God. But too many people are willing to stay where they are in life because they have resolved that, you know what, life is never going to get any better than it is right now. They've resolved to believe that, you know what, this is just the way I am. You know, I just have a quick temper. I'm just an alcoholic. I can't ever be anything different. But Jesus insists that He has the power to set you free. But the question is, do you want to be free? Or do you want to stay right where you are? Let me also add this. Freedom can be a process. Now, I've witnessed people who've been in bondage for years. And then they come to Christ and immediately they are set free from that bondage. But I think for most people who have been in bondage for years, it's a process. And here's why. Satan is a thief. And He wants back what He stole from you in the first place. And so when you give your life to Jesus, when you start walking in freedom, you better believe that Satan is going to show up in your life and he's going to try and take you back to who you used to be. And every time you stumble, and every time things get hard, he's going to whisper in your ear, "You see, you can't ever be free. You're hopeless. And so why even try?" But let me say to you this morning, keep pressing on. And let me also add this, don't compare your progress to the progress of others. You know, so oftentimes we go to social media and we get on Facebook or we get on Instagram and we look at these perfect families with perfect lives and then we feel like failures. But what we have to understand is what we are seeing on Facebook and Instagram are just simply people's highlight reels. They're showing us their best. They're not showing us their struggles. And so don't compare your progress with someone else. And when the progress seems small in your life, don't give up because God makes this very big promise. Philippians chapter 1 verse 6, Paul writes, "And I am certain that God who began the what? The good work within you will continue His work until it is finally finished." Listen, this is good news this morning. Understand, God is at work within you. And let me tell you something, He is really good at His job. I think about my dad. My father has been enslaved to nicotine cigarettes for over 50 years. He started smoking when he was just a boy. But back in 2018, we were together as a family for my mom and dad's wedding anniversary. And my dad said to us kids, he said, "I'm tired of smoking. I'm tired of being a slave to nicotine." And let me tell you something, it was a process. I mean, he had been smoking for over 50 years, and it was a process. But I'm happy to tell you this morning that my father has been free from nicotine. He's been free from cigarettes for the last 2 years. All glory to God. And listen, I think about myself. I'm much freer today of some of my past bondage than I used to be. Whether it's fear or whether it's my temper, anger. And let me tell you something, God can do the same for you. Let me also add this morning. God helps people get free through the power of community. I believe that. In other words, you and I, we need each other in order to achieve freedom. I think about the story in John chapter 11, verses 43 through 44, where, remember, Lazarus has been dead, and Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. He says, "Lazarus, come out." And the dead man came out, his hands and feet, what? Say it out loud. Bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a head cloth. And then he goes on to say, "Unwrap him and let him go." Isn't that interesting? Jesus tells all those who were there witnessing this to take the grave clothes off of him, to set him free from bondage. In other words, God uses free people to help free people. Now, we don't have the power to raise, but we do have the responsibility to unwrap. I think that's why the Bible uses that word encouragement over 100 times. We're to come alongside each other and lift each other up and encourage each other through some of the struggles that we deal with. Because here's the truth. Bondage flourishes in darkness. And yet, so oftentimes, that's where we want to keep things, in the dark. We don't want anyone to know our struggles. We don't want anyone to know our sins. But James says in James chapter 5, verse 16, he says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be what? So that you may be healed. Don't keep it in darkness, but confess. And you say, well, can't I just confess these things to God? Yes, you can, and you should. But we should also find some brothers and sisters in Christ who we trust that we can also share our struggles with so that they can encourage us, as James says, so that they can pray for us, so that we can be healed, so that they can hold us accountable. You see, we have to move past this surface stuff where it's just, you know, I'm doing good all the time. People ask, how you doing? Doing good. And sometimes we have to let people know, I'm not doing real good. We have to share our struggles. And as others help us come through those struggles, then we in turn can be used by God to help set others free by sharing our story. In fact, there's a story in Mark chapter 5, and I'll close out with this morning. Mark chapter 5, verses 18 through 20. There is this guy who has been just running around a cemetery. They've tried to bind him because he tries to hurt himself. He's full of demons. He's enslaved to these demons. But Jesus cast those demons out. He sets him free. But listen to what happens. Jesus was getting into the boat, and the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. But Jesus did not let him, but said what? Go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how He has had mercy on you. So the man went away and he began to tell in Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And all the people were amazed. Again, free people. Free people. God wants you and I to use the freedom that He helped us to find to help others find freedom as well. Again, through encouragement and prayers and accountability and just simply sharing the story of, look, this is how God has changed me. But what I want you to understand as we close out this series today is freedom is a reality. But the question you have to ask yourself is, do you want to be free? Do you want to be free from anger? Do you want to be free from fear? Do you want to be free from addiction or bitterness or people-pleasing or even your past failures? Well, Jesus can set you free. I want to lead us in a prayer, and Jeanette Venable texted me this morning and she asked me to pray specifically for the people of Honduras. Their country has been locked down and food has become very, very scarce. And so she is asking that as a church, we would pray for the people of Honduras, for their safety, for their protection, that God would provide for them. And so let's pray. God, we thank You so much, not only for our salvation, but also for our freedom. Father, we're just so grateful that we no longer have to be slaves and controlled by so many of the things in this world. Father, we're just so grateful that right now we can be everything that You want us to be, and that You will empower us to do that. That this is not something that we can do on our own. We have a responsibility to decide that we want this, but ultimately freedom comes from You. And so, Father, we are so grateful. We're so grateful for the sacrifice of Jesus that was made on our behalf. And Father, I just pray that You will help all of us who have been set free to share our story, to help others become free. Father, I also just want to lift up to You the people of Honduras, Father. Their country has been locked down and there's very little food. And Father, I'm just praying for their safety from this virus. I'm also praying for protection, but also that You would provide. And Father, we know that that's what You tell us in Your Word. That's the promise that Jesus made in Matthew 6, where He said, "Put Me first, and all these things I'll take care of, food, clothing, shelter." That You love us, that You care for us, and that You're always looking out for our best interests. And so, Father, be with them. Be with our entire world right now. As so many people are affected by this virus, whether it's through their job or whether they've contracted the virus themselves, Father, we just pray that You would be with us. But ultimately, Father, we pray Your will. We know that no matter what's going wrong in the world today, we know that You are doing so many things right. And we are just so grateful. Father, again, we thank You so much for all that You do. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. At this time, we're going to go ahead and partake the Lord's Supper. If you want to go